The following Bees in a Trench Coat production was made possible by viewers like you. Thank you.
They're not watching anything.
Wait, what do you mean they're not viewing anything?
The film crew died!
Perfect weather. Hello, this is Inspector Gray speaking. Oh, good day, Chief. Night, Chief. Have you solved the death of Mr. Bridges yet? Oh my. He was drinking what? Again with the cat. That is a lot of damage, sir. Yes. Well, as they say, sir, London Bridge falling down. No, sir. I'm not making light of another man's death. What? No, not at all, sir. I have tremendous respect for our police force. Yes, I know the cat must be taking it very seriously. And personal, yes. Listen, sir, why did you call me? It's the middle of the night. What? Yes, I know that house. They're hearing noises? From where? Well, it is supposedly haunted, sir. No, sir, I wasn't making light of a potential stalker case either. Right. Very well. I'm on the case. Yes, sir. Goodbye.
In the summer of 1929, Dr. Benjamin Dover II moved his family into the rolling countryside of England, in a town known as Washburn. His reason being that life in the city of London reminded him too much of his deceased wife, Clarabel. Out of all the homes they might have chosen, the esteemed doctor shocked the community when he chose the oddest, and perhaps most seldomly looked at house available, the real estate. Construction for the manor began on March 13th in 1779, and, despite protests from the locals, was built upon the burial grounds of Celtic warriors and Irish slaves. Upon moving in, however, the family wrote about hearing strange wailing noises from the garden, or the sound of dripping from the attic when there was no rain, and other strange phenomena. 1 year after they moved in on March 13th, their youngest daughter, Abigail, died of fever. Exactly 1 year later again, on March the 13th, his son, Jared, was stabbed to death by a frightened burglar. 1 year after that, the wife had gone into hysterics, talking to the walls as if they were her children, walking around the house at night with the lights turned off, and eventually, she began the purchasing of cultish items to try and commune with her children from beyond the grave. This eventually drove Sir Thomas to madness, who beckoned his wife to stop, but when she refused, he shattered a window and with a shard, sliced her own throat out before taking his own and plunged himself to his death from the attic window. Since then, those who lived in the house complained about finding pieces of glass everywhere, hearing noises the reels heard, and even some claimed they could see Thomas fall to his death again and again. After the last occupant poisoned himself to make the wailing stop, the house became a place of legend and lore, never purchased by anyone ever again. That is, until the Dover family moved in. Their oldest daughter of the family, Abigail, has just been engaged by a young American lawyer named Jack Morgan, and her father is expected to throw a celebration for their engagement on the 13th day of March, due to the hope of a light rain. Storm clouds, however, remain on the horizon.
Trenchcoat and Take 22 Studios proudly presents Bad Things That Happened in a Haunted House.
The following program is brought to you by these sponsors.
Are you experiencing back pains, sore muscles, frequent coughing, failing hearing and sight, extremities numb, vomiting and diarrhea, blood and urine, seizures and muscle spasms, leprosy and joint pains, ulcers, skin rashes, bloody noses, chest pains? Then you should probably stop listening to this drama cast and go to a hospital right away.
Applying for jobs can be messy, but we have a way to help you keep track of all of your various references. Just go to jojosreferences.org and set up a free account. JoJo's References will save the information used for all of your references. The email address your youth pastor used, your first boss's phone number, your great aunt's home address shared publicly for the world. If you're a loser who doesn't have any friends, then JoJo's References can fake a recommendation for you. We'll help you stand on your own 2 feet in no time. Just visit JoJo's References.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
It was a dark and stormy night. Perhaps. Festivities at the Dover House were settling down, as most of the guests had gone to bed. The only souls to be found awake at this late hour were the handyman and the maid, busily cleaning up after the feasting and well wishes to the happy couple. Mr. Donovan, the family's handyman, had to call the police to request an officer come over to investigate a series of noises that were coming from outside, a complaint the family had had for quite some time now. Some of the family members said it was a thief, patiently planning his break-in, while Mr. Donovan suggested it was the ghost of Thomas Reel. However, his proposal to the Dovers was rats, which the family concurred. Nevertheless, they insisted an officer come investigate. The storm would have no doubt delayed their dispatched officer, so Mr. Donovan took to the trouble of assisting Mrs. McConnell with the cleanup.
Well, I phoned the police about an hour ago. That thief will be long gone by the time he arrives, though, thanks to this bloody weather.
'Twas rats, I tell you. If it was a thief, he would have robbed us by now.
Oh no, Miss McConnell, you clearly never robbed a house before. You've got to be patient. Scout out the area, decide what to steal. Really get to know the inhabitants' movements so you're not caught when you try to run away.
Robbed a house before, have you?
Certainly not, m'lady. But if I were, that's how I would do it. Besides rodents, come on, Miss McConnell, where's your imagination?
Disappears every time I have to listen to you, Billy.
Well, perhaps I could inspire you.
Very well, since we don't get a choice, apparently.
Suppose it was the ghost.
Oh, please.
No, really, think about it.
But I never learn how to talk to a woman, Mr. Donovan.
Just imagine, this very night he... Wait, what?
Nothing. Go on, I'm imagining.
Oh, right. Well, imagine.
I am.
This very night, on the anniversary of his house being built, the night his children died, the night his wife died, the night he died, the ghost of Sir Thomas Reel III be looming about, planning on how to mark this happy occasion with the mark of doom.
Oh, I'm shaking in me slippers. Who do you think he'll make his vengeance known to, The doctor, his son, or the bride-to-be? Maybe he'll start with a warning by frightening the groom first.
Jack is frightened, all right. Not by the ghost. I tell you, he's thinking over his vows right now. He'd be frantic, I say, walking around the house before bed, I tell you, as if he was searching for a way out.
Oh, hush. Everyone's nervous before their big day. I was, both times.
No doubt of it. Fine couple they'll make, though, don't you think?
Yes, I think so. What the devil was that?
I told you, it was the ghost. Throwing rats out of the window, it seems.
Shut up. Go check it out.
All right. Don't get your knickers in a knot.
Mr. Donovan? Mr. Donovan?
My God! Mother of Abraham, he killed Jack!
The eyes of the Irishman beheld the groom of the wedding, Jack Morgan, covered in blood and glass. eyes wide open as if they had just seen the devil himself. His throat slit wide open just like the necks of Mr. and Mrs. Real all those years ago, on the same night of their deaths as well. Panic ensued, as Mr. Donovan and Dr. Dover brought the remains of the young American lawyer onto his old operating table, where the wedding party became awake in the matter of a few hours. Night had fallen for Mr. Morgan.
Careful now, easy. God almighty, that's a lot of blood.
My God, this is horrible.
What monster could have done such a thing?
Calm down, Mr. Drew. Right now, we need to call the police.
Already did, sir, about an hour ago. I was calling about the noises again, so they should be here any minute.
Excellent, Mr. Donovan. Make sure no one touches the body until then. Oh, where is the priest?
You want to wake up George. Hopefully he has a key to let him out.
Oh, that drunken fool. I hope his headache kills him next.
Sir!
Oh, shut up, Billy. Oh. What am I supposed to do with them? My poor, poor baby girl.
Dr. Dover? Abigail? She wants to see the body.
Let her...
My dear Chuck! No! No! Oh! Who could have done this? My Chuck!
No, come, I'm so sorry, my dear.
We were so happy! Why would anyone do this? Why, God, why?
Say something to her, Doctor. She needs comfort from you, her father.
All right. I'm sorry, my dear. He at least felt no pain when he hit the ground.
When did he feel pain?
When he proposed to you. Ow.
When did he feel pain, Papa? Was it when I didn't marry him sooner? Was it when I took away his cigarettes? When I told him I wanted children one day? Was it when I asked him to stop playing rugby? Was it when I asked him to go to church again? Oh, Papa, when did he feel pain?
No, my love. Those are fine things. You could never bring him pain. I mean, it was most likely the slit across his throat, followed by a sudden loss of...
Yes, Doc, I concur. Nice.
Wait, slit throat? Just like the ghost of Thomas Real? Oh, I think I'm going to faint.
Oh, don't do that.
Well, she did. Oh, great. Here comes Martha.
I heard ghost! Who's that on the floor?
Well, Abigail, of course.
Oh, the first Jack! And oh, poor Abigail!
Oh. No. Oh.
Well, I'll just check on the police then, sir.
Oh, bring some water on your way back, Billy.
Aye, sir.
Suddenly, there was a knock on the door. Which, prompted Miss McConnell to see who could be knocking on the doorbell now of all times.
Who goes there?
Good evening, madam. My name is Inspector Thomas Gray. The police chief called and...
Police? Yes, of course. Come quickly. Someone has just died.
Died? Oh, God, I'm too late.
What?
I'm too late to solve the crisis before someone died.
How were you supposed to solve a murder before you got here?
Murder? We should send for the police.
We did. And they sent you.
They what? Oh, right.
Come on then, this way.
Yes, of course. Let's have a look. Oh dear.
The inspector was led through the house by the old Scotswoman, just as Father McSpankney was arriving with a very hungover George Dover, who had a splitting headache that got worse the more he tried to comprehend what he was being awoken to.
I've got a splitting headache.
Then stop trying to comprehend what you've awoken to, you drunken fool.
Shut up, Father. A man just died.
Not just any man. Your sister's future happiness.
Please, everyone now. It's not the time for quarreling. My dear, Miss McConnell, who is this?
Father, everyone. This is Detective Inspector Thomas Gray. The police sent him about the noises.
The about time you got here.
Good evening, everyone.
Obviously.
Well, Detective, what do you make of it?
What?
Of the victim, Detective.
Oh, well, it certainly wasn't food poisoning.
Aha! That's just what I was thinking.
Oh, my head. Oh, my dear Jack. Oh, hello. Who's this?
Ah, Inspector Gray, ma'am. Sorry for your loss.
This is Miss Abigail Dover, sir. She was the fiancée of the man on the table before you.
Oh, right. I was.
Can I please have a minute to think? Would you mind helping the lady into the other room? Please close the door on your way out.
All right, you heard the inspector. Everyone out. Let the man get to work.
The room was cleared of everyone standing, and Billy closed the door behind him, just as the inspector requested, leaving the detective alone with what remained of Mr. Morgan. The problem was, Inspector Gray was a health inspector, and not a police detective at all.
Oh, bloody, 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 bloody heck! What to do? What to do? How did this happen? How? I was about to go, put on my slippers, and poof! I'm alone in a room with a bloody corpse who was murdered, and I'm the one who has to solve it! Come on, Thomas, pull yourself together. You know, that's a lot of blood.
Oh, God, help me. This is ridiculous. Could things get any stranger?
Oh, my head.
Who are you?
I'm Martha Dover. I live here in the haunted mansion. My sister's fiancé was murdered on the infamous night of March 13th. Then I came in here. My sister was on the floor. I passed out at home, talking to a very mysterious and handsome man. Who are you?
I'm Inspector... Hang on. What? I didn't catch half of that.
I'm terribly sorry. I speak really fast when I'm startled. I'm Martha Dover, the youngest. You said you were Inspector?
Yes. Inspector Thomas Gray.
Oh, good! The police are here!
Well, not quite.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm a health inspector.
What?
I'm a bloody health inspector. I'm not a detective or policeman, I'm just a bloody health inspector. The chief received a complaint from this place about noises, but he's so convinced it's just rats, he sent me here instead. Plus, there's not very many policemen to spare this late at night, thanks to the storms, and I'm only a few miles from here.
Oh, I see.
Is there a phone here?
Yes, there's one over on that desk. It should work.
Good. Let's get a real policeman over here at once, shall we? Hello? Police? Oh, good. I'm calling from the real estate. No, it's not about the noises. This time there has been an incident. Who is this? Well, this is the inspector, of course. What? Well, yes. I'm an inspector. Hello? Hello? I can't tell if she hung up or if the storm knocked out the lines. Lovely.
Oh, dear. Now what?
Well, I have to tell them.
Right. Wait! Oh, no, you can't!
What? Well, why not? I'd be lying to them.
But if you reveal yourself to be a false policeman, then the murderer might make a run for it.
What? I can't do that. I'm not a real detective. Sergeant policeman thingy.
You have to try, please, sir, for my sister's sake. You get the picture, right? Or I can help you. I read tons of books like Agatha Christie and Sherlock Holmes. Besides, you have the general idea, right?
Oh, I suppose I do. I never finished studying to join the force. I suppose I can pretend to investigate until the phone's back online.
That's the spirit.
Right. Well, I suppose I should inspect the body for clues first.
Yes, sir. I'll get some gloves.
Is this a homemade hospital room?
It's my father's old office. He ran a little clinic from here before he retired.
Ah, I see. Right, well, let's, begin.
The inspector, with a heavy stomach, searched the bloody corpse for a clue, finding a celebration cigar, a lighter, and some cash. He was about to stop digging before his stomach threw up his afternoon tea again, when suddenly, a slip of paper fell from the victim's inner jacket. folded in half and soaked in blood. All it said was in Morse code.
Gee, I'm awfully glad this fell out of his inner jacket. I was about to throw up this afternoon's tea.
Again. A clue! Excellent work, detective. See? You got this.
Well, it's a start. Now what?
I suppose this is the part of the investigation where you gather statements from the suspects outside.
While the inspector was busy with the business of becoming a detective, the rest of the party was outside in the lobby, awaiting young Master Gray.
Oh, how horrible this is.
I will never love again.
Now, my darling Abigail. It'll all be all right. There are plenty of fish in the sea.
Cast your nets often, Victoria.
Oh, shut up, Daniel. I don't actually go fishing.
He wasn't talking about fishing, you moron.
Georgie!
I told you, don't call me that. And does anyone have a bloody aspirin?
Have some coffee. Black and hot.
Thank you.
What if it was the ghost?
Oh, please, there's no such thing.
No. Wait a minute. I'm slightly superstitious, but let's not jump to such dramatic conclusions.
What, it's March 13th. The way he died was the same as Sir Thomas.
Well, that is odd, but it could still be murder.
What, the window? The slit throat? March 13th?
Plain theatrics.
I concur. Hush, everyone. The detective is returning with Martha. Oh, I forgot we left her in there. Sorry, my dear.
No, it's all right. I'm used to it.
Everyone, please gather around. I need everyone's full attention.
One by one, the newly christened detective inspector began gathering statements from his new circle of suspects. He started with the father of the bride, the esteemed Dr. Dover.
I suppose I'll start with you, sir. Your name?
Dr. Benjamin Dover, my good man.
Very good. Dr. Bendover.
No. Dr. Benjamin Dover.
Yes, that's what I said. Dr. Ben...
Jamin!
Right. Where were you, Doctor, at the time of the murder?
Well, I had gone to bed. I was awoken to the sound of shattered glass, so I got dressed and ran down as fast as I could.
I see. Very well, then. Bless you.
Excuse me, Inspector. I didn't mean to interrupt you asking the suspect if he saw the victim before he went to bed.
Oh, well, I wasn't. I was about to... Oh, right. Doctor, did you see the victim before going to bed?
Why, of course. I was celebrating his wedding like the rest of us. He and I stayed up a little later than the others, having a splendid conversation. Then I retired to bed, leaving him and the butler alone.
I see. Sorry, I'm just trying to think if I should ask anything else.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, I don't think so. Next, please. You.
Abigail Dover.
Might I ask where you were at the time of the murder?
I suppose you may.
Okay then. Where were you at the time of the murder?
I was in bed at the time. I just put out the light after doing some light reading. Once I heard the window crashing, I jumped out of bed and ran towards the foyer where I ran into Martha and Vicky.
And where did you last see Mr... I'm sorry, what was his name?
Oh my God, you don't know his name.
Well, I couldn't exactly ask him for it, now could I?
Maybe you could question someone else. How about Victoria?
Capital idea. Miss Victoria, where were you and Mr... Oh dear God, I still don't know his name. Okay, new question. Whose murder am I investigating?
Jack Morgan's.
Thank you. Where were you when Jack Morgan flew out the attic window?
Nice.
I was in my room, in bed, asleep.
I'm starting to see a pattern here. Everyone, please raise your hand if you are in your room and asleep at the time of the murder.
The young inspector-turned-detective looked over at the first hand that shot up, belonging to Mr. Drew. He then glanced in the direction of Father McSpeckney, who also had raised his hand. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Dr. Dover raise his hand and... Well, they all had their hands up. Well, except for the two servants, because, well, we started with them in the first scene. Washing things. You know, you get the picture.
Aha! Our first mystery man and woman. You, sir. Where were you when the murder happened?
I was washing dishes, sir.
I see. Can anyone vouch for you?
I can, sir.
Ha! Is that so? And just why is this?
I was drawing them.
Of course. Unless that's what you want us to think.
Oh, right. I forgot to mention the part where I flew up the stairs on my broom and committed murder in a matter of seconds before finishing off the tea tray.
It's just a theory. You see, everyone is a suspect here.
Including the ghost.
What? Ghost?
He's joking, Detective. There is no ghost.
Well, yes, but actually no.
Oh, dear, do stop, Billy.
Well, it is strange, isn't it?
Strange?
Strange that Mr. Morgan died the same night as the ghost.
Ghost of who?
Sir Thomas Real. But it is stuff and nonsense.
And how did he die?
Oh, he threw himself out of the bloody window like a bat out of hell after slitting his own throat.
And Mr. Morgan?
Oh, he threw himself out of the bloody window like, same as Thomas.
What a story. Well then.
The young inspector was at a loss for words.
I am at a loss for words.
But suddenly, he remembered the clue that fell out of Jack's coat and proceeded to make inquiries about the curious piece of paper.
Ah, I've just remembered this clue that fell out of Jack's pocket and will now make inquiries about this curious piece of paper.
What are you doing?
I roll perception.
What? This is a radio drama.
I rolled a 17 plus whatever my modifier is.
You don't have any modifiers.
Very well, 17. Do I recognize the paper?
No, you don't. It's not in the script.
Script? I thought this was my character sheet.
Shut up. Next line, please.
Oh, that's me. I do. I recognize that. It's Morse code.
Morse code? Why would he be typing Morse code?
We studied it together at Princeton. As a game, we would leave pieces of paper with a trail to follow of where we were hiding. It was such fun. I didn't leave him any Morse code tonight, however.
That was for tomorrow night, right?
Shut up! A trail? Bravo! You may not have sent him this message, but can you tell us what it says?
Good thinking, Martha.
It reads, ballroom.
The scene of the party! The last time anyone saw Jack!
Aha! Come along, everyone. Feet is the game.
What?
Feet? Game?
I already don't want to play.
I do!
God.
I think he means the game is afoot.
Oh, yes. Of course. I loved Pride and Prejudice.
No!
And so, with new confidence and a killer to catch, the young detective turned Young Master Grey and his companion, Martha, made haste into the ballroom, the infamous last place anyone saw the young Jack Morgan drawing breath. Will he find another clue? Will the killer try to make a hasty retreat? Or perhaps the ghost of murder's past will make his ghastly return? Find out next time when you can tune in to hear Inspector Grey say...
Oh, heck. I'm sorry, did we just record that?
Oh, God.
Thank you. I'm Matthew Redding.
And I'm Micah Redding.
And we are the creators of Bees in a Trench Coat Productions, and also the creators of the Inspector Gray series. If you would like to donate to continue to support these projects,
you can just support us on ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/trenchcoat for our brand-specific page.
And be sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter at BeesInATC, and on Instagram at BeesInATC. NATC, of course, meaning in a trench coat. Huge thank you to Take 22 Studios and all of our wonderful cast members that were part of this production. Can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you for listening, and have a good day.
Bye-bye. In loving memory of Rod and Paula Bramblett, War Eagle.